1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Notice it said, whom he may devour. Amen. You may be seated. Before I go into a lot of my message, I want to show you some pictures. If you don't mind, you can show some pictures on the board. I want to show you something. I want to thank Sister Brown. She just came back from the safari taking these pictures. I just want to thank her for the flight, nice flight, and I'm glad no lions to get you or nothing like that. So, great shot. Love the shot. Can we show the other pictures as well? Yeah, you did real good. Oh, you was terrified. I almost got you on that one. Oh, they was really coming, wasn't they? Yeah, she did a good job of going out there and taking those pictures for me and coming. That's the outreach ministry. Anybody want to be on the outreach ministry? Amen. All seriousness. I'll talk a little bit more about the lions a little later, but you can keep that picture right there. The devil's plans for your life is threefold, to steal, kill, and destroy. Threefold, that's it. Nothing else. He has no good plan for you and your life, period. We need to understand that Jesus is the good shepherd. And he describes Satan as a thief whose whole purpose in life is to steal, kill, and destroy the flock of God, period. Yes, his purpose in life is to steal the sheep and lead them into strange pastures where the grass looks greener. But in reality, it has been poisoned with false doctrines and false teaching. Satan will lead you into strange pastures where the enemy is hiding and waiting to ambush you. Satan will lead you into strange pastures where you'll see smiling faces will greet you. But in reality, they're waiting on the opportunity to cut you down. Understand what I'm saying? As I was telling Minister Cora earlier, you know, most ministries, you know, people love to go to ministries that talk about prosperity and talks about how to, you know, make money and get this. And if you put this much in, this is how much you'll get back. You know, that's one-sided. We need to teach everything. We need to teach everything. You need to understand that the devil is real. He is real, just as real as you sitting here. He is real. Now, I understand those ministries talk about that, but it seems like those ministries that talk about that, I ain't talking about nobody, but the only person that's really prospered is the pastor. I'm just saying. The devil, he is like a roaring lion, seeking to devour, demolish, destroy all whom he can. He is ferocious and cruel, looking for someone to destroy. He wants to destroy and kill you and all your offsprings. So you need to be aware of his tricks. Satan is the adversary and the roaring lion, the prince and ruler of the darkness of this world. The first one I just said, the roaring lion, you can see that in 1 Peter 5 and 8. The prince and the ruler of this darkness of this world, Ephesians 6, 12, John 12, 31. You can see it all through the scriptures. How can Satan devour a person? Jesus tells us that a person who does not trust and follow God as his father is actually being led and following the devil as his father. In other words, Jesus is saying that all unbelievers have the devil as their father. So, ye are, this is what the scripture says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abound not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. John 8, 44. This is why every time Satan says something to Jesus, Jesus had to come back and say, it is written. Because he just said here, you're a liar, and every time you speak, there's a lie coming out. So Jesus had to say, okay, it is written. Now I got to tell you the truth. How many know y'all got to do folks like that? They talk to you and they tell you something, but you know the truth, but they don't know you know the truth. And then you sit there looking at this and say, this boy is, whoo. So you have to tell them the truth. This is what Jesus, simply what Jesus was doing. Jesus already know. He's sitting there listening to this. Oh, you're going to try to tell me my word? That ain't what, y'all got to get people like that. That ain't what I said. Now, here's what I said. You can help somebody tell you. Now, this is how I said. Jesus said the thief will come. Let me break it down to you. 1 Peter 5 and 8. When it says, be sober, okay, let me just translate that whole verse. Be alert and not desert. That's your translation. Be alert and not somebody's, not the devil's desert. Okay? That's how you translate that entire, that verse. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, destroy, demolish. The devil has no plan for you except to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said he comes only. That, you know how you see a sign that says employees only? Only means only. Okay? That means surely the devil will come. Surely employees will come through this door. So surely the devil will come. But when he comes, he has no other interest or purpose for you, but only one thing. One thing. He comes to turn everything upside down in your life. By nature. The devil doesn't know any order. He doesn't even want order. He is the source of all chaos. There is no goodness in him at all. The devil wants to destroy you. He wants to kill your joy, your confidence, peace, happiness by any means necessary. That is his ultimate plan for you. That's why you can't let folks get underneath your skin. You can't let folks bother you. You got to look past that. Because I said before, we wrestle not with flesh and blood. So we need to stop looking at that individual and look at the enemy that is being used. That look at the person that's being used by the enemy. If you are a Christian, you cannot do anything. Satan cannot do anything to you directly, but he will use anything to disappoint you, to scare you, to take away your confidence, to shake your strong foundation. He's your enemy, and his plan is to take you out, period. So Satan is not your buddy. To carry out his goal, he will use every opportunity as well as time. Y'all know we hate to wait. So he would use that as a tool. That's what he did with Abraham. Use that as a tool. Say, well, since God is delaying, I'm going to help God out. And in doing so, that thing that Abraham did some years ago, we are still dealing with that today. If you don't believe me, read the scripture. All that stuff happening over there, because of what Abraham did. All in the scriptures. So, when we need to understand that when we are faced with the devil, he's going to destroy, kill, and steal. That's what his goal is. This is why the scripture says, be watchful. So, why 1 Peter gives the why for watchful? The devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone. He's looking. If you try to pretend there is no such thing as the devil in this world, who is active and focused to steal, kill, and destroy, you will not survive. I believe I said it last Sunday. If you don't believe that somebody will break in your house, then I dare you to leave your doors unlocked and the doors wide open. You don't believe that nobody will break in, leave it unlocked. You lock it because you understand that somebody is capable of breaking in. See, when we are called to follow Christ, we are called into the battlefield, not the playground. God called us soldiers, not spectators. From start to finish, it is war. We are called into the spiritual military boot camp. But boot camp training is serious. It's not fun. I've never been, but from what I heard, it is not comfortable. But it's necessary. Because God's ultimate purpose is to make an army out of you. He wants to make you a warrior. We have been called into God's army for a purpose. The purpose of all this discipline and training is not to wear us down, but to make us ready for the battle that we are about to go into. Because only well-trained soldiers can stand strong and bring victory. And one of the best characters of a strong soldier is his watchfulness. He's always on guard. The devil doesn't sleep on your case. He's always watching. He's always hunting. This is why I wanted this picture. Go back to that first picture to stay up there because I want to show you something. Y'all see that? Now, I want you to picture this for a moment. I want to teach you. You can shout later, but I want to teach you right now. Y'all see that lion? Picture him being the devil. Y'all see all the herds out there, out of respect. But just picture that being the church. He's just lying there waiting. And he's looking for somebody to stray away. And he's watching. And soon as he sees somebody straying away, he's going to get you. But see, right now, he's just watching. See, there's no chance. No chance. He's watching. He's waiting. Now, let me talk a little bit about lions more in depth. Even though the symbol of a lion characterized strength, majesty, and leadership in the Bible, in 1 Peter chapter 5, the symbol is for one who is ruthless, stealthy, powerful, and aggressive animal, often working from ambush. See, when Peter wrote this, while lions still roam parts of the Middle East, the people of that time were more familiar with lions and their habits than we are today, which is why Peter is talking about the lion, because they're more familiar with this, which is why I bring up analogies and stories that you are more familiar with. Peter's only doing the same thing I'm doing. He's talking to something that is more familiar with what there are, with what they are used to. So now we see lions only in the zoo. You know, we go to the St. Louis Zoo and we see the lion. You know, the captive lion bears little resemblance of this beast that I'm trying to get you to understand. You know, captive lions lie around and really all you see them, you're like, I want to do something, man. Do something. They just laying there and all you see is gnats and they just swatting at, you know. You ain't really out attacking anything or you just seeing them just lying there. Well, we got them caged up. You know, they look bored just by sitting there watching them. They're like just laying out there in the sun and ain't doing anything. Caged lions with a full stomach can give a false impression. He can have a full stomach, but don't think he won't get you. A wild lion may not seem much more impressive because like Satan, let me say this, lions are deceptive. They do most of their work at night when no one is watching, undercover of the night. They become great hunters. Their tan coats, a natural camouflage, blend into the bush so that even the male lion, which is about 500 pounds and stretches from head to tail about 10 feet long, is nearly invincible. And if you know, when you have a lion, if there's a lion out there, you have leopards out there. And if you have leopards out there, you have cheetahs out there. A lion and a cheetah hunt differently. A cheetah is the fastest land animal, and he can go about 70 miles an hour. So he can run down his prey. You ain't getting away from him. A lion can't run. Normally, they can't do that all the time. They don't run down their prey. A lion doesn't kill by speed. This is one of the reasons my grandfather used to always teach me, this is a marathon, not a sprint. They don't kill by speed. A lion doesn't kill by speed. They don't run down their food very often. They creep slowly toward their victims, behind the cover of the tall grass of the plain, and with a swift dash, they pounce on their prey. A lion kills by stealth and by strength. A lion can run about 35 miles per hour. He got a few steps on me. But he can only burst at you. And the way a lion hunts, he hides in the brush. Y'all notice the color of a lion when he hides in the brush out there. He just kind of blends in. I believe there's some more pictures. Show some more pictures. But let me tell you this. What's unique about, I'm going to tell you something. The female lions are vicious. They hunt together. And what they do, one will go out there and chase you. Now, that one that's chasing you, you think you're going in the direction that you're trying to get away from them? It's a setup. It is a setup. That one lion, that's all you see chasing you. This is the way the females hunt. They are vicious. That one lion you see chasing you, you think you got it made. They done already staged a trap for you. They got you surrounded. All you doing is running into the trap. And they just laying there, waiting, looking. And as soon as you get close to them, like I said, they don't run you down. It's kind of like, y'all ever been to a family gathering? You know, everybody don't get up and fix their plate. Everybody don't get up and fix their plate. They got somebody that bring it to them. Y'all follow me? They got somebody that bring their plate to them. They'll find somebody. So in other words, there are some lions that's sitting there. They ain't going to go and fix their plate. Somebody going to bring them to them. Y'all follow me? And when they come, they ambush you. Because when one attacks you, here come the rest of them. They're going to bring you down. See? Here come an ambush. They coming to get you. This is the way Satan is. When Satan comes and attack you, he ain't going to just be by himself. He's coming with an ambush. I'm not trying to scare you, but I'm trying to teach you something. Don't think that you can take him by yourself. He is nothing to be played with. This is an ambush that's getting ready to happen. Whoever they're coming after, they're done. They're relentless in their pursuit. They will get you. They will wear you down. It's the same way with Satan and his demons. Constantly wearing you down. Getting you thinking about it. Wanting to do it. Continued putting thoughts in your head. Wanting you, just wearing you down. This is what Satan does. Just wears you down. But let me say this to you. The Bible doesn't say the devil is like a cheetah. But it says he's like a lion. Lions by nature will stalk and attack animals even larger than themselves. Lions are selective hunters, picking off stragglers. Picking off stragglers, the old, the ailing. They will strike into the pack of herd if necessary. But they prefer everything in their favor. In other words, they just sit there and wait because they know you're going to slip up. You see that lion that was laying in that grass? He's just sitting there waiting. Because, as long as you're fellowshipping together and you're staying together, he's just going to lay there. But see, when somebody gets big-headed, somebody gets hard-headed and they start straggling away, that lion is like, just keep getting closer. And they don't move. They just sitting there. They're just lying, just waiting, watching you. And when you think they're not looking, they're looking. You notice that lion, he ain't looking at nothing else. All he doing is sitting there watching you. Like I said, picture that being the church. Satan just sitting there just watching. Sister so-and-so made you mad today, didn't she? Brother so-and-so made you mad, didn't he? You didn't like the way praise and worship was done. They didn't let you sing your song. Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you didn't speak to me today. So just get down low and just watch. And see, sometimes, they even watch how you leave out of church. If you ain't happy, you ain't got God in you. Sits there and he waits. Just wait. And he can wait as long as he can. Patiently. He's waiting. Look at that. Now here's the thing about it. Some of them, they see him. They're trying to warn them about there's a lion close. But there's somebody that just ain't gonna listen. Somebody just gonna see, I didn't want to show you any more brutal pictures, but there's just some people that just not gonna listen, and you're just gonna do what you want to do. You don't want to listen to the adults. Some good sound doctrine. When your parents try to give you some advice, you want to say, "Oh, mama, you don't know nothing. Oh, daddy, that was back when you was when they ain't have this." See, we don't want to talk to the parents, that will give us education. That is no match. Look at him getting down low. Just watch him. And sometimes you think the lion is playing with you. Oh, he ain't playing with you. He get ready to eat you. No match for a lion. No match for the devil. We are no match for him by ourselves. I'm trying to teach you something. The lions prefer everything in its favor. Once it has its target, a lion's body is well suited for killing. Well suited for killing. If you notice how a lion, when a lion grab hold, they wrestle. I mean, they're like this. As you would think they're standing. They're on two legs. They wrestling this thing down to the ground. This is why I said strength. They got them. And then they get them by the neck.
Matter of fact, let me say this. Every teeth in a lion's mouth is not for chewing. It's for stripping flesh. Every teeth in a lion's mouth is for stripping flesh. It ain't for chewing and sitting there enjoying it like it's some gum or something. No, it's for ripping flesh. Y'all need to understand that. The lion will hurl itself onto his prey, inflicting deep gashes and wounds. His jaws can open up to 12 inches wide and are strong enough to crush a bull's spine at a bite. Lion has 30 teeth. Like I said, none meant for chewing. Only tearing and ripping flesh. It will bite, claw, kind of like how I'll fight like that too. I'll bite, claw, do whatever I can to get you off. That's how I would fight. I don't care. I'll holler too if that would do something. Anything. I'm just describing how the lion fight. It's kind of reminding me how I would fight. I'll scratch, claw, do whatever. I'm going to get you off of me. Even with all these deadly weapons arrayed against him, the victim's death does not come quickly. It may take 10 minutes or more. The last thing the lion does is go for the throat to put his prey out. Since they don't run as fast as cheetahs, they don't tend to get as close as possible to their prey. They just, when you get close to them, they dart out. The enemy frequently strikes in our darkest times. Just like the lions like to hunt at night, the enemy likes to get us at our darkest time. While we're asleep, the enemy is on high alert. He is out there active, moving. That's why when you get up in the morning, you need to start praying to God. Because while you are asleep, the enemy is busy, active, working. What they say, graveyard shift. He's working that grave. You know, nobody likes to work graveyard shift, right? Yeah, there's a reason why. But the devil is busy during those hours. Why? Because most of the world is asleep. So he can get a lot accomplished. In the daylight, when everything is good and powerful and when your life is right with God, according to the scriptures, he can do nothing. So he is waiting for that perfect time for the better chance to make a surprise attack. Peter says Satan is prowling. He is seeking. He is devouring like a hungry lion. That's why Paul says in Ephesians, do not give the devil an opportunity. Don't allow Satan to maneuver you into a vulnerable spot. Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. Now, what are the works of the devil? The works of the devil are sin, rebellion, temptation, accusation, fear, etc. The Son of God appeared to destroy the works of the devil. Sin is the works of the devil, and anyone who commits sin is participating in the works of the devil. Y'all need to understand that. Sin is the works of the devil, and anyone who commits it is participating in the work of the devil. Sin is what's destroying humanity. And the devil always used sin as a weapon to persuade and control people to work contrary to the will of God. He always does that. He tempts us. The Bible says, for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil, Jesus came. To destroy means to loosen, to make powerless. He came to destroy the works of the devil. We need to understand that. So, first of all, we have to understand this, that the devil is a defeated foe. He is defeated. So we need to understand that having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Jesus gained an immortal victory through his death. The last word, it refers to the cross. The fight was fierce, But Jesus triumphed over it. Satan is defeated, but yet he's still alive. How many of you seen it? I'm going to use this analogy. How many of you seen movies where, you know, this person is defeated, but they're still alive? So they're still alive. They still got this evilness in them. So in other words, what I'm saying is, as long as they still got this evilness in them, if they can reach a weapon, they'll still kill you. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So what I'm trying to tell you is that even though he's defeated, he's still alive. Talking about Satan. Satan would do anything he can to trick you. And here's the problem with us. We don't believe the devil exists. And he wants you to not believe that he exists. He wants everything pointing towards God. God is the reason for this. God is the reason for that. I remember when I was a young Christian, this lady was mad. She said, "God, kill my child." And I was like, I don't know what to say. Young Christian, the only thing I could say was that I read the Bible where it says he come that you may have life. It doesn't sound like God would kill. The one thing that we need to understand is that we allow sin to come into our life. We do things that God said, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. And if you do this, this is the good that I'm going to bring. Why is it that we can accept the good that's going to bring if we do good, but when we do bad, we just get, God can't believe God would do that. If God can give you good when you do good, he can give you bad when you do bad. See, we only want it one way. We only want the good. If you want to defeat Satan, let me give you this. You got to stay in. What am I saying? Stay in Christ. Stay in church. You got to stay in. Once you move out, you on your own. Let me tell you this story. It's a good story. I do reading and kind of meditating. I like to drive. Driving allows me to clear my mind. It allows me to think when I'm driving, you know. And I was reading this story about this this man was talking about how he went on a him and his wife went on a safari, you know, to see the wild animals. I don't know why they could go to the zoo and they caged up. But they want to go out there and ride in this little car that's open and want to see the live animals close up and all that. That's not necessary for me. I can go over there to the zoo and I can look at them. I'm like, yep, still a lion, still doing nothing. That's good enough for me. I don't need to get that close. That's not necessary. So this guy was telling, he was talking about how him and his wife went to the safari, and they have the top open. I mean, it's not covered or anything. And they're all taking pictures, and they're looking for a lion. And when they were driving up, they didn't see a lion. And so they looking, and they don't see no lions. And all of a sudden, they spotted one. Well, the lion wasn't where he normally is. He wasn't in the weeds, you know, hiding, just laying. He was up in the tree. So the driver pulls up underneath the tree. And they all like, uh-oh. If the lion falls, he's inside, right? Yeah, doesn't make sense. But anyway, but I'm going to tell you what the driver said. As they were scared and looking at this lion, the driver said, "You're fine. He ain't going to mess with you. As long as you stay in the Jeep." He said, "You get outside the Jeep, you're lion food." But he said, "As long as you stay inside, you're fine. He won't touch you." So they taking pictures, they're enjoying this, and they're looking, and the driver was like, you know, okay, you know, move on and go to other places. Now, you would think that, you know, this driver, you know, is not making much sense. But let me paraphrase what he's saying to him. If they stay in the Jeep, they're safe. Lion won't touch them. So this is why I said if you stay in Christ, Satan can't touch you. You see what I'm saying? If you stay in church, Stay in the Lord. The devil can't touch you. You won't be devil's food. You see what I'm saying? So that's what he was telling them, that as long as you stayed inside of the Jeep, it looks like you're not covered, but you are covered, because the lion ain't going to mess with the Jeep. You see what I understand? That we're inside of it, but the lion sees the Jeep. You understand what I'm saying? So I know that we are in Christ. As long as we stay in Christ, the lion really can't touch us, because what he sees is Jesus. See, what's normal to the lion was the Jeep coming through there. You see what I'm saying? What's normal to the lion is the Jeep coming through there. He's used to the Jeep coming through there. He know he can't do nothing with this Jeep. But if you step outside the Jeep, want to get a closer look, remember what I said. They don't go and hunt their food. Somebody bringing them their food to them. So they're going to sit there and they're going to wait. If you want to get out that Jeep and see how big I am, then come on over. You will be lion's food. But as long as you stay in Christ, can't touch you. Can't mess with you, because you're in Christ. So, and here's what I thought about. You know how they always refer to the lion as the king of the jungle? And I kind of thought about that for a moment. I said, a grizzly bear can do more than a lion. Think about it. I mean, you don't see lions. Have y'all ever seen a lion out swimming? No, they don't. They can get in the water, but they're not like, you know, want to be out there in the water. A bear can get in the water. A bear can run. You can't get away from a bear, for real. Bears climb trees. They can break. They can snap a tree. They're 15,000 pounds, I believe. A bear is 500 pounds. So when you think that a grizzly bear would be the king, but what's the difference between the grizzly bear and the lions? Well, here's the difference. Here's the difference. See, a grizzly bear, if a lion attacks a grizzly bear, it ain't just going to be one lion. There's going to be more lions to come. This is why it's really saying it's the king of the jungle, because they don't fight one. They all come together, and they fight and take whatever it is needs to go down. They would take it down. Have y'all ever seen them fight and try to get their prey down? Man, you got one working on the neck. You got one working on the back. You got one pulling the tail. You got another one that's just trying to flip him. I mean, they are doing all kinds of things to get this thing down. That's the enemy. He does everything he can to try to get you down. He throws everything at you. He uses everything, all resources. But a grizzly bear, if he's fighting, I ain't never seen another grizzly bear come and help. I mean, have y'all ever? I've never seen that. I mean, maybe I could be wrong. But I've never seen another grizzly bear, more grizzly bear, come and help this one out. But a lion. The reason they're called the king of the jungle is because they fight in packs. Christians today have a predator, is what I'm trying to get at. We have a predator, and that predator is stalking us 24 hours a day. The Christian life is like a jungle safari. The lions are there, and your flesh is no match for their claws. How many of you ever got a splinter? Okay, didn't it hurt? Yeah, your flesh is weak. Because if your flesh was strong, you wouldn't have got that splinter or felt it. Y'all follow me? You wouldn't have felt it. This is why the flesh is weak, because it tears. It is subject to a small splinter, and you can't even see the splinter, but you know it's there. When you do this, you can feel it, and you're hoping that by doing this, you can get it out. But this just lets you know that this flesh is weak. It's weak, very weak.
The lions are there. Their flesh, they're clawing. They're coming at you. You need to understand, we are no match. We are no match for Satan by ourselves. Only Jesus will safely escort you on your dangerous journey to heaven. He is your vehicle. Remember that vehicle out there in the safari? He is your vehicle. He is your vehicle. When you leave Jesus, you go off on your own, and you instantly become vulnerable to attacks. So don't leave the vehicle. Don't leave Jesus. Stay in Jesus. Don't go off on your own. You're safer when you attend church. In other words, you're safer when you attend prayer meetings, when you are attending small Bible study groups, when you go to church, social gatherings that we have. You be a part of the ministry. Get involved. Do things. Don't just come. Get involved. Fellowship with other fellow believers. I'm telling you, this is how God works. We look for the pastor to give us the word. Sometimes there could be somebody sitting right here among you that can speak a word in your life. That God can use anybody. He could use somebody in the house of prayer that will give you a word that you need. One of the devil's favorite tricks is to separate us from others who are going to heaven and let you get alone and get off by yourself. When you step out and you leave the body of Christ, you become vulnerable. You have a target on your back. Once he attacks you, he causes great pain, but he does not go. We have to understand that the pain is not going to go away very easily when you deal with Satan. He pins you down and he wounds you first while he's got you. Y'all ever seen a lion when they get their prey? They pin them down. The smaller prey, they pin them down. They just hold them there. They sitting there. And see, while they got them holding there, they catching their breath too. You know, they catching their breath. Got you, holding you down. Then they step back. Then they go to eating. Go to destroying, killing. Let me say this to you as I close. Think of Satan as a lion, quietly and invisibly stalking you. He's always looking for a way to maneuver you into a position by yourself, where he can leap out of nowhere to maul you. Let me say this. I had a dream once years ago, probably about, 10 years ago. I had a dream. And normally I can interpret my own dreams when I have them because I know how God is speaking to me. So I watch my dreams. But I had a dream of a black cat. When I say black cat, I'm talking about a panther. I'm talking about no little meow cat. I'm talking about a black panther following me. And when I turn around, I look, he stopped. Then he would, when I start walking, he would walk again. And I turn around, he stopped. And I said, okay. And I'm watching in my dream. Now I'm going to tell you this. Normally in my dreams, I fight. I fight in my dreams. You know, a lot of times I don't even want to go to sleep because I'm wanted. I'm wanted in my dreams. I'm on the run. I done fought people. I done killed some people in my dreams. I done did some stuff in my dreams. I don't even want to go to sleep half the time because I'm wanted. I don't want to be captured. So I try to stay awake as long as I can, but you don't get sleepy. But I'm telling you the truth now. I fight in my dreams, you know, and I just don't put up with mess. And I asked a prophet, they said, you just don't take no mess off of folks. That's what that is. It's just that simple. But the thing is that I was watching this black cat come up on me. And I told you I'm a fighter in my dream now. And I'm sitting there looking, but what God was trying to tell me, said, watch your back. Somebody's trying to sneak up on you. And they're trying to do you in. And I said, I know who it is. But when I say I know who it is, I ain't go after them, y'all.
But what I'm saying is God deals with you in your dreams. You have to understand something. When I tell you this, your dreams are not just dreams to be having. Your dreams are meant to warn you. God was trying to warn me about somebody trying to do something to me, and the cat was a representation of that person trying to get close and sneak up on me. So I had to watch myself, because I noticed that as I kept walking, that the panther kept walking. But then when I turned around and looked, the panther was like froze. And I was like, okay. And I walked some more, and it would creep again. So I'm like, okay, I'm saying, okay. And then when I woke up, I said, Lord, you got to speak to me. What does this mean? What are you trying to tell me? And he said, somebody's trying to sneak up on you. But the Lord said, I'm not going to let it happen. But I'm just letting you know to watch yourself. Remember when Minister Katina said casual conversations? You got to watch those casual conversations. Because a lot of times you could be talking to the devil and you're telling the devil what you're about to do. And so the devil will take that and say, okay, now you want to know why your plan ain't working? Because you just told the devil. And so now the devil's getting ready to carry out to try to make sure it doesn't work. That's why you got to keep things to yourself. Because the devil is trying to keep you from doing it. That's like Joseph. Joseph learned a lesson. You got dream killers that's out there. Joseph told too much. And in telling too much, guess what his brother did? Here come the dreamer. Let's do something with this dreamer. In other words, they're trying to kill his dream, trying to kill what God is trying to do in your life. That's all the devil is trying to do. He's trying to destroy. So as I'm telling you this, when you dream, don't just brush it off. Find somebody who can interpret that dream and get an understanding of what you're dreaming. Because I've had dreams about snakes. God told me about that. Man came up to my car. I said, man, if you don't get that snake out of my face, I said, you're going to be sleeping, pushing up daisies. That's what I said in my dream. That's what I said in my dream. I got mad. And I did. I talked to a prophet, and the prophet said, God gave you the spirit of Moses. Gave you that spirit that you're not going to play with folks. Man had a snake. Just man, guess he may get that snake away from me. I said, what's your problem? But I'm trying to tell you that dreams mean something. You need to understand that. And when I tell you, you know, in the dreams that you have, God is trying to warn you of something that's about to happen in your life. Some of us, we just lay down, wake up, and say, oh, man, I had a bad dream. I'm glad I'm up now. We don't understand the significance of it. God is trying to teach you. He's trying to warn you. He's trying to tell you about something that is happening right now. But we sit there and we just get up and just start going about our day and don't get counseling of what we just dreamed about. Satan is prowling, seeking. There's a lot of things that I dreamed about that I'm walking in today because God has prophesied it to my life through my dreams. He has told me about it, and he has brought it into life, reality. So what I'm saying to you today, the devil is like a roaring lion. As you see the lions up there, they're coming. He says, seeking who he may devour, not who he can devour, but who he may devour. So in other words, he's coming. Will you be prepared for him when he comes? Because he's coming. Make no mistake about it. He's coming. Will you be prepared? Only time will tell.